From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Boy, do we need Thanksgiving this year. The election campaign was long and bitter. A lot of folks are still getting over Hurricane Sandy. Ahead of us, this fiscal cliff. A good, calm day of thanks with loved ones would do us good. But will the knives come out at your house? Politics on parade, right, left, Obama, Romney, Limbaugh, Maddow, Uncle Jerry on the 47%, Sister Sue on the 99%. This hour on Point, family and politics, red and blue, at the Thanksgiving table. You can join the conversation. Does it get messy at your house? Dangerous. What happens when beliefs you hold dear offend the people you hold dear? How do you work it out, or do you? Will your family set an example for Washington or not? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. We've got two families with us today, and we are wide open to you and your family stories from around the country, around the table. Joining me from Philadelphia are Buzz and Caleb Bissinger. Father and son, Buzz wrote Friday Night Lights and Father's Day. He's host of the Buzz Bissinger Show on WPHT in Philadelphia, voted for Romney this year. Caleb is a senior at Kenyon College in Gambier, Ohio, and editor-in-chief of the Kenyon Collegian, voted Obama. Caleb, welcome back, and Buzz Bissinger, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
Hi, Tom.
It's great to have you both with us. Caleb, we talked with you a couple of weeks ago about college students looking out on this election. That was before the election. Now here we are. And with us from Palmyra, Virginia, is Carla Roby, and in nearby Charlottesville, her daughter Melinda. Carla teaches at Effort Christian School and Preschool and blogs at LifetimeMoms.com. Melinda's a sophomore at the University of Virginia studying cognitive science with a minor in religious studies, and they, too, canceled out each other's vote in the last election. Carla and Melinda, welcome. Thanks very much for being here.
Hi, Tom. Hey, Tom.
Hey, it's great to have you both. We're going to hear your story, Buzz and son Caleb, first. What happened here this year? Caleb, we've spoken with you. You were very strong for Obama. Buzz, you made a kind of last-minute decision to go the other way. How'd you end up with Romney? How's that going down at home, Buzz?
Well, I think it's going all right. I no longer recognize Caleb, so Tom, you're going to have to be the Hillary
the intermediary. All right, we'll do some shuttle diplomacy. Group. Yeah.
Well, the decision to vote Romney was a very difficult one. I've been a lifelong Democrat. When I made the decision, I remember I texted Caleb. I was very, very concerned about what he would think of me, because politics is important. And he took it pretty well. I think he was pretty shocked. I think he was perhaps disappointed. You know, I voted for Romney basically on the fiscal issues, and really on the basis of that first debate where I thought he was wonderful and presidential. And Obama gave one of the worst performances I've ever seen by a politician. And I hope that, Caleb believes at least that I did the right thing with my heart. You know, I don't think he does. And I still believe that this country has to decide, do we want bigger government or small government? And I believe in small government because I believe when it's big government, there's just a tremendous amount of waste.
Buzz, stand by. Caleb, we can only imagine what it's like to have a radio talk show host as a dad when it comes to these issues. But we know you're no mean representative yourself of your own view. Are you still smacking your forehead at dad's vote? Are you going to have a civil conversation about it tomorrow? Or is the stuffing going to be flying across the table?
The stuffing is going to fly. I'm still reeling. I'm still in shock from when I found out that he had gone pro Romney and dragged our good name through the dirt.
Hold it. I mean,
Melinda laughing already at that.
Yeah. Well, I do think that's something of an overstatement. I mean, I also think you're lucky, Caleb, and I pay for your college education.
Oh, wow, we're getting down in a hurry.
Unfortunately, I don't know where you're going to get a job in this economy, because I don't think President Obama. You know, he wants to raise taxes on the wealthy, and that's all fine and good. I don't know if that will work, and I don't know what his jobs plan is. Do you?
Caleb, how do the numbers work at your Thanksgiving table? Who's got the majority going on here? Is it going to be an even Steven fight or no?
Oh, I've got the majority, absolutely. He has Romney's 12 million imaginary jobs. I have my stepmom. So
they're not 12 million imaginary jobs. Most economists say that the 12 million job number is easy. That's generally what they achieve, except for President Obama.
Okay, Bissinger family, you've got your stuffing on high already. Hold it right there for just a second. I want to get Carly and Melinda Roby in here. Let's see, Carla, or let's start with Melinda. Melinda, tell us how the politics break down in your house. What's it look like?
Well, I have to say I am vastly outnumbered, and I'm surrounded constantly by Republicans. So that's a little unfortunate. But yeah, pretty much my entire family, especially my mom's family, who we're going to be spending Thanksgiving with.
Yeah.
Very, very Republican.
And where's your mom come down? We'll hear from her, but where do you see her in the spectrum at your Thanksgiving table?
Well, my mom and I have talked politics a lot recently, and I feel that we have done so much that we realize that we just sort of set each other off in terms of just really disagreeing. So we're probably going to be the quiet ones.
Carla, how about it? Are you looking for a little peace, love, and understanding at the table this year, or is it inevitable that it gets feisty?
Well, I hope that there's peace, love, and understanding. That's my goal. Unfortunately, there may be some stuffing flying around. It won't come from Melinda or myself, but I definitely have grew up in a very strong Republican conservative home, and have in the past 3 years or so really had to kind of unlearn some things that were, you know, ingrained in me, and am now figuring out who I am and kind of relearning some stuff. And Melinda and I are not as completely different, I think, as your other two guests. I'm a little more open-minded than a lot of Republicans, I think. So you know, we'll see. But peace, love, and happiness is always first in my choice.
It's no secret in your family that Melinda's come out as gay. And is that part of what set you off on a journey of some rethinking, Carla?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have written about it, so it's not a big secret anywhere that that was not something that I expected or thought, you know, whatever happened in my life. Mm-hmm. And because of that, and a lot of soul searching and counseling, I have a wonderful pastor who has been huge in that, helping me really dig deep into my heart and my mind, and come to accept and understand and realize that she's the best she that she can be, and this is who she is, and I love her equally. So.
Wow, you're some kind of great mom there, but we know that it can get rugged in a hurry. We asked on Facebook, and it's interesting because Facebook, for a lot of families, can be sort of a warm-up for warfare at the table. I mean, the comments flying there already. But we said, do you talk politics at the dinner table? Brian says, yes, and I've got the knife wounds to prove it. Angie says, yes, but mom's blood pressure can only take so much. Ashley says, I can't talk politics because all my siblings are either misinformed or just plain ignorant. Abby says, yes, but only to prove how right I am. And at the website, Brett says, you know, all this is easily solved. In his case, I guess it's a Democrat majority. He says, just have anyone who isn't a liberal Democrat eat standing at the workbench in the garage. Caleb, what happens to civility here, Caleb? Or is that important to you when it's, you know, throwing down at the table?
Well, luckily, I think I'll be at the kids' table this year, so I'll get to avoid some of his slander.
That was my doing, by the way.
Exile.
We try to be civil. We absolutely do.
And, you know, we are civil, but we do like to discuss politics. I think it's important to discuss it. I am completely outnumbered. It's kind of like a tag team wrestling match. Caleb has good facts at his disposal, so he kind of softens me up. And then my wife goes in for the kill. I mean, she will
the emotional
not,
kill, maybe.
Not forgive me, mm-hmm. You know, for my support. And I will say the report was reluctant because of Romney's stand on social issues. However, Romney, to me, and admit this may sound strange, there is a kind of positive expediency to him. I think as a businessman, he wants to get problems solved, and I think he will stay would have stayed away from kind of the hot button issues that Republicans themselves are grappling with now in terms of gay rights and also abortion.
Are you just shaking your head, Caleb?
Why would you want a president who's going to stay away from quote unquote hot button issues, important social issues, which he's refused to take any sort of real stance on? In fact, which he has a softer stance at the end of the election than he did going in. I know less about Romney than I did 2 years ago.
The fact that to me he had a softer stance, I always felt, now many may not agree with this, and the polls bore this out. I think at heart, if there is a heart to Romney, he was basically a moderate. I think his first 2 years of governor of Massachusetts, he was a moderate, and I think he finally figured out, instead of listening to all these pundits and all these pollsters, he had to return back to his moderate roots, and I think he showed that in spades in the first debate.
Hey,
so
Buzz, hold that thought.
Away from the social issues, I think that's great.
Hold that thought. Melinda, you're listening there from Virginia. How do you think this Thanksgiving is going to go? Does this sound familiar to the kind of tension that can come up at your family table?
Yeah. Well, my family table is, is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit less concern for facts, I think.
For facts, okay.
Yeah, in terms of actual, you know, numbers and things, but so, with my mom specifically, it does sound a lot like our situation. My mom is definitely voted Romney for his economic plan.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking today about politics at the Thanksgiving table. Family, red and blue and purple, sitting down for the first big holiday since the election, and how that goes. Political tensions over the turkey, battle lines, common ground, hot buttons, safe havens. Carla Roby and her daughter Melinda are with us from Palmyra, Virginia. They've got some lines running through their family. We're hearing them right here today. Buzz Bissinger is here, and his son Caleb. Buzz in Philadelphia. Caleb, they're home as well, home for the holidays from Gambier, Ohio, and Kenyon College. They voted this way and that as well. And it's interesting, you know, Mad Mark says, tomorrow we'll see with forks and knives at the ready. If we can give thanks without incident, I think we have a prayer of surviving as a country. But TF writes, will my family set an example for Washington? I hope not. Too many people watching Washington are hepped up on papered over politeness, resulting in bad policy. TF sounds ready for battle right there. Buzz, Caleb, Carla, Melinda, it's so good you're all with us, and lots of folks on the phones. Joe in Palmyra, Virginia, next door to Carla and Melinda. Joe, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Happy Thanksgiving, a day early.
Same to you.
Yeah, just a little bit of insight, just from a law enforcement standpoint. I thought people might find this interesting.
Are you a policeman, Joe?
I'm a police officer.
Okay, yeah.
By a very wide margin, Thanksgiving is by far the worst day for cops for domestics.
Domestic really? Incidents, domestic conflict.
Wow. Oh, thanks exactly a lot. That really
right.
gives us
we
a lot of hope.
911 call.
Oh, no.
Not necessarily for politics, but the family flies in from the four corners of the country. Everybody
right.
starts drinking about 10 o'clock in the morning, and by kickoff time, they all remember why they can't stand each other.
Oh, no.
Well, that's because they're watching the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, there you go. With or without politics, you're saying, Joe, it's kind of got emotions can be out there.
Yeah, it really is the worst day of the year, followed by a distant second is Valentine's Day. You could figure that one out for yourself.
Wrong gift. Let's go. Oh, no.
But Thanksgiving is going to be a bad day. It's going to be busy tomorrow, well into the evening, I'm sure. It doesn't mean lots of people are going to get arrested. It just means
a lot of calls.
A lot of cops are going to step in between people and separate them and say, go forth. Yeah. Have a cup of coffee and think this one over before we have to take you to jail. So I just thought I'd throw that in the mix for something to think about.
Joe, I appreciate
it. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate that.
Yeah,
that's right. As we're being dragged off the jail, it says, where was Romney's tax plan? He never gave a tax plan.
In the slammer, buddy. Reminds us just how fierce it can get. Augusta, Georgia. Joanne, you're on the air. Thanks, Joanne.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
In my family, my older brother is a conservative. I am in the middle,
mm-hmm.
and my younger brother is liberal, which is exactly our birth way we are,
order,
my older brother, little, and then me, him. And then to add to the mix, my older brother is a Christian right person. I'm a Jew, and my younger brother is an atheist.
You've got it all going on, Joanne. How's it
going? We've got religion, we've got politics, and it can get real heated and has in the past gotten so heated that I am reduced to tears. I'm in the middle always, so my older brother thinks, well, you're just a liberal, and my liberal brother thinks, well, you're too conservative. So
what's the answer? Do you try and keep peace, or is it just the way it's going to be? There's going to be friction there.
I try to keep peace. I'm the peacemaker, and I think it's because I'm a middle child. But one of my older brother's sons has laid down the law that he will not have Aunt Jo cry anymore, and that we will not discuss politics or religion. And that way we'll just have a family thing. We'll talk about family. We're not going to talk politics and religion. We can't. If we start on politics, people go ballistic, and I'm sitting there going, come on, can't we all get along, you know?
Joanne, I appreciate your calling. Carla, Melinda, you know, we've got people writing to us here, you know, about their mothers and their uncles and their dads here. Sarah says that her mother's active on Facebook. She's like a Tea Party early warning system. Mm-hmm. She knows all about the controversies, you know, before they come on, a jobs reporter, Benghazi, whatever it is. But she says it's just too caustic. She says just too uncomfortable. My mother will say, well, if Obama gets reelected, we can kiss our retirement goodbye. But then Anna Maria says, you know, my parents happily coexisted as and with Republicans and Democrats. Lots of interesting conversations around the table. Mom was a Dem, father a Republican. Both loved politics. They both watched Cronkite for their news before cable, and they could talk about it. I mean, Carla, can you remember a time when it wasn't so politically tense at the table?
Oh, not in my house.
Oh, I was always there.
Well, growing, I grew up in rural Virginia, mm-hmm. On a poultry farm, and I was actually talking with my brother about this last night. I am, too, like the last caller, a middle child, and I always feel like I have to be the fixer. And I was talking to my younger brother about coming on today, and one of his comments was, you know, parents in our generation are old school, and they're not willing to change their mind. And so I came out of that, you know. And so growing up, no, it was, and even today, I'm a little nervous about tomorrow. So, you know, it's just the way it is. I'm trying to break that cycle. I'm trying to have that open mind and open heart and agree to disagree, kind of as I wrote in my article, my Lifetime mm-hmm. article. You know, my kid comes first. My family, the love that I have for them comes first.
An open heart on that front for your Melinda.
Absolutely.
Open heart, open mind. I mean, Caleb, one interesting thing here is that, you know, it may be that people want to fight. It may be that there's a little, you know, people have a glass of wine or more before the meal. But it may be that they're with people they really care about, and their care for the country, you know, rushes to the fore, and they think, if I can't let my hair down here, let it all out here, where can I? Where can I really share what I really believe, Caleb?
Well, I mean, my old man has a talk show, so he gets to share what he believes day in, day out. Oh. Look, I think for me, one of the hardest parts, I mean, it's not as if this has been the most trying thing we've ever gone through, mm-hmm. but one of the hardest parts of it all is, I think you, particularly on the social issues, I think you find your grounding as an individual, learning from your parents and learning from the ideals that they raise you with. And so to see my old man turn around and back a candidate who doesn't share any of those ideals that I think I was brought up to believe in.
Maybe you just misunderstood. Maybe you didn't read it.
I think perhaps I've been misinterpreting. I don't know. I mean,
well, first of all, I'm your father. I'm not your old man. Number one. Number two.
That's a radio.
Number two. I seriously do wonder that Caleb somehow thinks that I've turned my back on those social issues. And I have not. I'm very pro-abortion, and I do believe in gay rights, which made this choice such an anguished one. And it may be blind faith in Romney that he would leave those issues mm-hmm. alone, because mm-hmm. I think he is someone who wants to get things done. But that is very iffy. But I also believe I like talking politics with Caleb because he's smart. He gives me good game. Mm-hmm. I try to give him good game back. And I really do believe, whether it's family or friends, that we need more civil discourse where people can express opinions without immediately feeling defensive, which is very, very hard. I wrote about switching to Romney and all sorts of friends, I mean, were just all over me, you know, really taking it as
hard and angrily,
personal affront. Mm-hmm. And I was worried that Caleb would do the same. And I think to some degree, I think he does feel some, you know, some disappointment within me. But it, to me, it was about fiscal issues. It's about where this country is going. This country is in dire straits. The economy is changing by the second. And I had, you know, not only lost faith in Obama to change, but I worry about where is my son going to work? Where are the jobs going to be? Unemployment among the young is very high. And yes, my own selfishness, I'm tapped out between tuitions and taking care of a son with special needs and then taxes. Yep. I don't got a lot left.
And so you make your case, and Caleb still isn't going there, and we're off to the family table, and to keep it civil can be a challenge. I mean, Melinda, at your table, these social issues are personal. They're right there, you know? You're out as gay. Your family has got a conservative bent. Do you want to bring those issues up, or do you want to just have good company for the day, Melinda?
excuse me. It's you're right. It's such a very important issue to me, and kind of like what Caleb was talking about with, you know, your parents raise you with these sort of, you know, these ideas, you mm-hmm. know, to love everybody and
right.
and all that, and when
and then here you come.
Yeah. So it's I've just. I can't bring that issue up at the dinner table. Like I'm still not really out to my grandparents yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I really doubt they're listening to NPR at the moment. But
okay, it sounds like a safe bet in your house.
Yeah. But it's just not something that I want to really bring up with my really conservative family because it's just not something that I think would go over well.
Carla, that must leave you feeling kind of on the fence about, on the one hand, you've made the case publicly for your daughter. You've said, I'm opening my heart on this front. On the other hand, you want that family harmony in those times when we get together.
Absolutely. And to be quite honest, my parents, they have expressed that they don't, they're not fans of my writing. They're not fans of, you know.
Saying pipe down, Carla, down.
Back to the, you know, the roots of that generation where you don't talk about your feelings or the things that are going on. You didn't go to therapy. You didn't. Mm-hmm. You don't come out that you have an addiction or that you have a gay child or that you are having marital problems. You suck it up and you deal with it and you keep it to yourself. And so me coming out and getting a platform like this and with Lifetime and the other blog that I have on MadamDeals.com, it's just pretty. It's pretty out there for my family and I've kind of alienated myself a little bit to a degree.
Well, we hope you find some good connective tissue over the turkey there. Jim in Iowa City, Iowa. Jim, thanks. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah. What do you know?
For me, it's fairly interesting. I'm not going back home to the East Coast this year. I don't get home all that often. But when I do, I work for a labor union,
okay.
And I call myself probably a Lawrence O'Donnell socialist, and okay. Much of my family sits in the 1% or close to it, and a number of them work on Wall Street.
So tip top, okay.
You can imagine sometimes, and it's hard for me to turn off the politics because I live it every day, and oftentimes it's the kids who say, hey, you guys got to stop, because they start to get very upset because we have a tendency in my family to argue a point pretty much to death until somebody, you know, either gives up or walks away.
But it can get pretty hot until the kids just start to get worried or just want to turn the temperature down.
Exactly. But, I do my best not to talk about it, but I don't know enough about sports to keep up that conversation.
Right. Is there
you need to know is the Lions suck.
A Detroit fan. And Buzz Bissinger here.
And wait, the rest of your family are one percenters, is that right?
A bunch of them on Wall Street and beyond.
So what happened to you?
Well, he's a labor organizer.
Oh, yeah,
you're not the host of this show.
I don't know.
Dad.
Maybe I'm adopted. I'm not sure.
We doubt you're adopted, but hold your flag. But I think listen to the kids as well. I mean, it's funny. There's all these reports coming out before the holiday, you know, how to keep it cool. You know, try not to take things too personally. Find out what the other person means. Cool down, slow down. Listen to hear. Don't listen just to respond. But we know how fired up people can get. Stefan writes to us. He says, yes, my uncle and his family do not join us, as he is a closed-minded conservative, and I refuse to hold my tongue. It can go there, too, where half the family's not even at the table. Let me go to Rhea, calling from Boston. Rhea, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. What's your story?
Well, my story is that in my family, the Republican-Democrat thing is not a problem, but the Middle East is heating up.
Hot as it can be right now.
Oh, yeah. And we are going to be 20 Jews who are all going to be really concerned. And I think only a few of us, myself included, are equally concerned about the Palestinians as well as the Israelis. And I think most of the people there are staunchly taking sides with the Israelis.
So can that get just as hot as left-right, you know, Limbaugh, Maddow at your table, Rhea?
Well, truthfully, we go to different configurations of the family on Thanksgiving, so okay. It's never been totally tested.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of hoping that my family is going to be more civilized. I mean, I think that if a big fight starts, somebody will just probably tell everybody to shut up and move on to a different subject.
Will that be you, or I mean, are you a peacemaker or a rabble-rouser, or what's your role?
Well, what's going to happen with me is that the people who are staunchly Israeli supporters and only Israeli supporters is that oftentimes some of them just get so upset and so loud, and I can't participate in that. I'm just not going to scream. So I'm not going to try to make peace. I'll say my difference, but they'll cut me off, they'll interrupt me, and eventually I'll just be quiet. So that's not really a lot of fun, but for me, it's better than screaming.
You know, it's hard when the bombs are falling, especially, and of course they're going in all directions here, and I can see just how tense that could be. It's interesting that even at that table, there can be the big lines through and around and down the middle. Rhea, thanks for that. One more, Gary in Charlottesville, Virginia. Gary, you're on.
Hey, Tom, how are you doing?
Pretty well. Pretty well. What do you see, Gary?
Well, I just listen to all this, and I say, have no fear. I came from an educated family,
okay. But
more so it was back in the 60s, and I have an old brother and older sister 10 years older than me that were at the forefront. Meanwhile, my father was a Marine Corps veteran working for the Department of Interior who was deaf because of a hand grenade.
Yeah.
So you could imagine the screams over the Vietnam protests and everything that was going on.
Yeah.
So my advice, don't worry about it. Let it all hang out. We're family. You're family. Everybody's going to survive.
Hippies and Marines. It's going to work even this year, you say. Stand by. It's been worse in the past, Gary, you say.
Yep, it's been a lot worse in the past. So this is easy stuff.
Easy stuff? What do you think, Father Buzz, from your perspective of time? Easy time or hard time?
I think it can be a hard time. I mean, as you can tell, Cable, I respect Caleb's ability to argue with me. He argues well. And what happens at a certain point is you feel defensive. And then, frankly, you also feel, well, wait a sec. I'm your father and you should respect me. And it often doesn't happen. And then we kind of, go at it. And, sometimes there is not a resolution, and I think the residue of hard feelings, and frankly, you get a few bolts of wine in you, and it gets worse.
Off
it gets much worse.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about politics at the Thanksgiving table in this season, the first big holiday after a very big election, and the way political passions can grow very high, even between beloved family members. We've got four of them with us here today. Carla and Melinda Roby, mother and daughter, joining us from Palmyra, Virginia. And from Philadelphia, Buzz Bissinger and son Caleb Bissinger. All four, two in each family, on opposite sides of the vote this month. And kind of on opposite side of politics, but looking for a way across, maybe, sometimes. Funny comments here, and not so funny. Here's a 29-year-old says, I'm an extreme liberal from Alabama. My father gets his news from Rush Radio and Fox News. I've decided to stay home this year from Thanksgiving rather than traveling to see my family. Hopefully by Christmas they'll have calmed down. Probably not. Jesse in Providence, Rhode Island. Jesse, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah. What do you see?
I just want to say to those people who voted Obama, who voted for the left wing, take tomorrow as a chance to spike the ball, smile, and gloat.
Oh, jeez. Go
on your day in the sun.
Oh,
enjoy it. What? You know, I mean, the fellas from Philadelphia, I give them a lot of credit. They're two intelligent people who are going to have an intelligent conversation.
Yeah.
And that's good. But a lot of people are not going to have intelligent conversations tomorrow. They're going to scream. They're going to yell. They're going to quote facts that aren't true. And when that happens, you point at the scoreboard. You say scoreboard. You say 60 million people voted for Obama, and he slapped the Electoral College.
Hey, Jesse, you're not alone in that. Craig is writing to us here. He says, this year there will be a giant O on top of the pumpkin pie. But what about gracious in victory, Jesse, for the sake of family harmony?
I say think back to 2004 when you went to Thanksgiving after Bush Kerry. How was that conversation?
Yeah, well, yeah, it was rough. It was rough sometimes. Spike the ball. I don't know. Carla, what do you say? Jesse wants a Democrats to spike the ball this year. Do they deserve it?
I'm totally for it.
Yeah?
Well, you know, I also wrote an article about a political etiquette and our election etiquette, and I titled it Play Nice. And I think that, you know, we all want to talk about reaching our hands across the political aisle. I think you can celebrate it. I think, you know, if your guy won, good for you, you know. If my guy would have won or, you know, the person that I chose would have won, I would have been happy too. I think you can take it too far and be mean-spirited about it. And I think now is our chance as differing parties as you know, people on both sides of the aisle, so to speak, that, you know, we can reach across and we can come together and do good, you know.
Spike the ball and reach across. You have long arms there in Palmyra, Carla. Well, Caleb, how about it? You're going to be spiking the ball? Caleb, is that your answer to your dad? The people are on my side, Pops?
Yeah, it was a service A selection. Yeah, I'll spike the ball at him a little bit. Hold on.
Yeah, but I don't think that's fair, and I don't think that's right.
Well, let's hear it. What's that?
I don't think it's accurate.
Well, let's hear it. What's that spike sound like, Caleb?
You think no mandate? Is that what you think? Is that what you think?
I don't think he has any mandate whatsoever. That's why he's in Burma.
You're right. Hey, all those gifts
home.
He was giving
he's
out.
Home
huh?
Now. He's home now. He's home now. Oh, bought the election. Caleb, don't you get any credence with your whatever it is, 60 million, 60%?
Oh, man. Of course we do. Of course we do. So at a certain point, you tune out and you know you have. You know, you have the victory slip in your pocket, and you smile and you nod when he keeps rambling on.
But there's that urge to spike, or maybe that resentment that comes out. Sam in Hingham, Massachusetts. Sam, you're on.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
And thank you and your beautiful screeners for taking my call.
They are beautiful.
we want to start off this season with love, peace, and happiness.
I'm all for it. How do you get there?
Well, you know, I was originally brought up by Stevenson Democrat parents. In fact, my dad was a friend of Adlai Stevenson. I met the guy a few times.
Great.
Sadly, my father and mother died in 1957. I was 11. I got moved to Hingham to be brought up by my aunt and uncle, who were Victorian Goldwater far-right Republicans. Now, in both families, though, we spoke politics and religion at the table incessantly. In both families, the idea was, you know, whatever else, as an American, you need to be involved at least at the level of conversing, at least at the level of discussing ideas.
Why do you think that's become difficult in many households, Sam? What's happened?
Because people, I mean, in both my families, on top of all of it, we were taught manners big time. You speak to people respectfully, and you listen respectfully, and you speak your piece, but, you know, you give the other person a chance to speak as well, and you listen. And the problem today, you know, if you go back to the early days of our country, I mean, I just saw Lincoln last night. That was a lot of fun. And if you go back to the early days of our country, people could be more than a little animated back then as well. In fact, if two gentlemen really disagreed on something, they'd go out and have a duel.
Yeah, pull out the cane, pull out the dueling pistols, have a civil war. It's not as if we haven't been there, Sam.
That's that's right. But today, the thing is that today things are so much more intense, and you know, we have all of the different ways of communicating constantly and of constantly raising the heat of the debate amongst everybody. People, you know, back then the way of communicating was writing and reading, and so people could be a little bit more contemplative about both what they put down to deliver to other people and what they read. They had a little time to think about it.
I guess you're right. Facebook and texting didn't crank it up quite so high. Buzz, I mean, I can't throw stones, but you're a media guy, talk show guy as well. Is it your fault, our fault?
Yes, I think to some degree it is our fault. And I say that as a talk show to your host who tries to be responsible, but we are in the entertainment business, frankly. The media gives saturation coverage to everything and, frankly, gets, you know, very, very, very sloppy. So you really don't know what is happening and what it is. And, you know, a minor thing is this, a hostess closing. And that really was never the case. There's still in mediation. I'm proud of my son for having his beliefs. And I don't think not enough time is ever spent now by Americans at the table discussing important issues. We generally, if we're at the table, you know, we eat, we say nothing, and then we go watch, you know, Dancing with the Stars.
But, you know, it's so true. I hear at the table these days, I recognize talking points out of the media more than I recall from earlier on. I mean, my dad, he'll listen to this show every day,
right.
Little House on the Prairie, and then he'll listen to Rush Limbaugh. And I can hear that come back, and I'm sure he hears, I don't know what all, in my perspectives on the world. But it seems like it does get turbocharged with professional sort of pugilists here feeding the messages out.
I mean, there's no question. And it's not just Rush Limbaugh. I mean, look at MSNBC. You know, Pew came out with a poll and MSNBC was actually much more biased in the election, you know, than Fox. Everyone has a point of view, and you can go on the internet and find justification for every point of view you had. So I hope when Caleb and I speak, you know, speak with facts. I think Romney was unnecessarily demonized. I think Obama won the election really for two reasons. You know, he had a great ground game, which is great, but there's almost something cynical about it because, you know, it just means about getting people to vote. And he got Hurricane Sandy, which made him look something he had not looked for a long time. Which was presidential. Was Romney a perfect candidate? Absolutely not. But I think he could have crossed the aisle better, and I think he could have gotten more things done. And interestingly, after the election, Obama is using part of Romney, crossing the aisle, and also in terms of taxes.
Well, maybe that's a good thing. I mean, Caleb, your dad's relentless.
He is. He is.
You may be right, but he's relentless.
he's not right. I am. But no, look, I mean, look, he makes
– As do you.
He makes
occasionally
fair points, frankly, you know, do I think Mitt Romney is, you know, the son of Satan? Absolutely not. I think he was a smart, you know, savvy businessman. Do I think he was presidential the way that my father seems to think he would be? No. Do I think Sandy helped Obama? Yes. So, you know, we do find little pockets of agreement, but frankly. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to back him up on these claims that Romney would have been able to go across the aisle and find all these solutions that Obama has not been able to find. Apparently, I don't know. It's hard to have a conversation with this guy.
On the counterfactual. It's not going to happen. Linda in Wakefield, Rhode Island. Linda, you're on. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking me. First time caller.
Great to have you.
Thank you. I just want to let you know that I am the daughter of John Alden III, direct descendant from the Mayflower.
Okay.
So our dinner table was always, you know, very special and traditional in that aspect. However, I live in Rhode Island, and I am not going home to Maine with all my family.
Why?
A couple different reasons. My husband was in Afghanistan for a year, so this is we missed him all last holiday season.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he kind of doesn't have the patience with my family and the bickering with the politics. And I know it's going to happen. We've got a split. We've got probably a majority of Republicans. My mom is definitely Democratic. And it's just going to come up. And it's going to come up with the same thing happens with the Red Sox and the Yankees.
Right. Oh, watch out. Which side do you come down on, Linda, right or left?
Yankees.
For as far as baseball or
politics, politics.
For politics, I'm definitely conservative.
So is it painful with the Obama victory behind you, or is it a time for healing?
I'm still healing. It's been really hard, and I it's a little too raw. I don't want to go back home and just at the dinner table just start it all up again.
You know, I hope you and your husband have a really good Thanksgiving Day, and I hope soon you're in the arms of all your family and it works out. I appreciate your call, Linda. Joel in Medford, Massachusetts. Joel, you're on.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for this topic. I really appreciate it.
Sure. What's your story?
My parents are Tea Party activists.
Okay.
And I'm a gay man partnered with an Arab Muslim boyfriend.
Oh, boy.
We're both very liberal.
Okay. How's that go down?
Yeah, well, what I try to do when I approach my family is I tell myself to think of this question.
Mm-hmm.
Would I rather be remembered as being right? Because, of course, I believe I'm right, right?
Of course.
Or would I rather be remembered as being loving and being a source of love in the family?
That's a great question. It's a great question. So, but where do you end up coming down? I can still imagine a struggle over which way. We know which way looks more saintly, but where do you come down?
Well, I come down by being the voice that says of my siblings who are liberal and my parents who are conservative, okay, enough, let's not even start. Let's not even go there. Because it's just too painful to even bring up our political differences, because ultimately it comes down, I think, to our values, and it really hurts us siblings to know that our parents share different values.
That can be painful, and in the end, you don't want to lose that love. There's no question about it. And for the country, in the end, we do have to work together. Joel, I appreciate your call. Melinda, how about it? Do you get the mood to crusade for your issues, or sounds like in your household, it's better to let them ride, go the love path.
Yeah, I really agree with the last caller. I think that it is more important, really, on Thanksgiving Day to, you know, whether you bring it up or not, to remember, you know, to be that loving person. But it is really hard for me not to crusade, because it is such a personal issue for me. But it's just something that I have to, you know, because when my mom told me that she voted for Romney, it really upset me. It really disappointed me, because I felt like it was her not supporting me and my lifestyle, really.
But in your personal life, she's come a good distance toward you, it sounds. I mean, she has been the mom who reaches out and embraces.
She really has. She's really come a long way, and for that, I am really appreciative. But, you know, it just sort of felt like that, you know, that just sort of jab. It's really hard to sort of think about how far we've all come when somebody says they voted for Romney.
Carla, are you going to be able to keep that up, that embrace of your daughter and her life and life choices and your conservative politics? Can they live together long term?
Absolutely. I feel like I'm growing every day. I've had friends who've walked away from me because I've come out that I have a gay child, and I think, you know, that's their loss. And I first and foremost am her mother, and as she has gotten older and become an adult, she's become my best friend. And I voted differently than she did, but her rights as a person, as a gay woman, you know, they're important to me, and I will.
But what about when she says, "Mom, Mitt Romney's party won't stand up for those rights in the same way as Barack Obama's party"?
Yeah, we had that discussion. She was a little distant to me after she texted me and asked me what color I voted, and I told her I wouldn't. I said I'm not gonna talk about it. I tried not to talk about it, and that immediately, well, she knew what I'd done.
Yeah.
And she in her words, she had a bee in her bonnet for a couple days, and didn't really communicate. And so I knew that I shed some tears over that, because the last thing I want to do is hurt my child. So, you know, there has been some healing in the past couple weeks, and I'm excited for her to come home at some point today and begin the Thanksgiving celebration and embrace her with you know, with all the love that I have, and know that we're going to agree to disagree. And you know, sometimes we hurt each other, and it's never my intention. And
well, you've got a very good mother daughter dynamic going there, even if the politics remain a little tough. I mean, I'm reminded
we had to work on it.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's been a three year journey. Yeah. It's going to be a lot longer.
It doesn't come for free. It takes an investment. John Dickerson's writing in Slate here. He's got a sort of a whole game plan for the debates on Thanksgiving Day, but he starts it reminding us of Loudon Wainwright's Thanksgiving Day prayer: "If I argue with a loved one, Lord, please make me the winner." I don't know. What do you think, Caleb? Is the goal to get to an answer, or ultimately to get to some love?
I think it's to get to some love. I mean, the point of Thanksgiving is to sit down and reflect on the year and what you're thankful for. And I think the end of this election has been one of reflection, of realizing that the Republicans need to drop the hegemonic act, that you know, the country's moving in a different direction. Hope we can sit down, share some love, and agree on a couple things.
We're going to roll out on that hegemonic act. Buzz, I'm sure you'll have a response to that tomorrow at the Thanksgiving Day table.
Oh, I will. Don't worry.
I'm sure it'll be a good one. Buzz Bissinger and Caleb Bissinger joining us today from Philadelphia. Buzz, Caleb, thank you so much for your time, and good Thanksgiving to you.
Same to you.
Thank you.
And Carla Roby and Melinda Roby joining us from Palmyra, Virginia. You're both just wonderful, and we're so grateful to you. We admire your relationship, and we thank you for sharing your thoughts today. Carla, Melinda, thank you.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and to all of our listeners. Thanks for joining us. Good luck at that table. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.